As a general rule, when it comes to sports gambling, I try to do things that will avoid losing money. Now, I know that's a crazy proposition. That's sort of a wacky premise, an odd formula, but it's one I stand by. Don't intentionally make bets that will lose. Nutty, right? Well, one such credo I normally have along that line of thinking, don't bet on the Pittsburgh Pirates. For the most part, betting on the Pirates over the last 40 years tended to make you lose money. However, I've got some numbers for you today that may sway your opinion in that regard. I am Tim Benz. This is the Pittsburgh CityCast. We're brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the app today or go to BetRivers.com. Spring training underway, so it's time to start thinking about gambling on baseball. I've jotted down the current odds for a bunch of different Pirates futures here. Pirates to win the World Series, plus 30,000. That's 28th on the board. That's less than 1% of the money at Bet Rivers. 19th overall, 1.6% of the tickets, 15th overall. The Pirates to win the National League at plus 15,000. That is 14th on the board, 1.8% of the money. That's 8th, 2.3% of the tickets. That's also 8th. The Pirates to win the NL Central, that's at plus 10,000, the longest odds within the division, 8.1% of the money, 3rd in the division, and 9.6% of the tickets, also 3rd within the division. And then the Pirates to make the playoffs, just plus 1,600 to do so, minus 10,000 not to. I mean, I can't believe the payout for them making the playoffs is that low. I'd want more of a reward than it is for this team currently. But have some fun. Punch a long shot ticket if you like. Make a bet for posterity if that drives you. But here's where I think it gets interesting and where I think you can make money on the Pirates. It's the Pirates over wins total at 67.5. It's the second most wagered on win total at Bet Rivers and the fourth most wagered on MLB future of any kind at 97.4% of the money coming in on the over 67.5 wins, and 77.3% of the tickets are at over 67.5 wins. So almost everybody who's betting on the Pirates and their win total, almost 78% are saying they're going to go over. So more than 3 out of every 4 bettors are betting on the Pirates to go over 67.5. And when it comes to the raw cash dollars, that translates to almost 97% of the haul so far at Bet Rivers is on the over, with just 3% on the under. Now, I did some digging to see if that was just something fluky here at Bet Rivers. It isn't. That's a trend all over the country and most outlets you can find. In a lot of places, the Pirates opened up at minus 61.5. The action on them has already driven that number up to 67.5, as you see at Bet Rivers. I wish I had gotten in then, but I'm getting in on it now at Bet Rivers. A year ago, I saw win total lines of the Pirates set low and continuing to shrink. They couldn't get low enough. And sure enough, the Buccos come in at 62 wins, a second consecutive 100-loss season. It would have been 3 in a row if not for the pandemic. The team was the worst of the major leagues that year, and I think the worst of the past 3 for the Pirates, but the pandemic just made it look not quite as bad because of the total games played. But now the Pirates, their plan to perpetually sell hope, I guess, is bleeding over into the gambling community and not just with the ticket-buying faithful here at PNC Park. As I look out my window and look at the ballpark right now, I mean, consider me, though, one of the masses on this one. I've got the Pirates at 72 wins, or maybe better said, only 90 losses. Yeah, my bar is low. I'm aiming for the Pirates to have only a 90-loss season instead of 100. That said, it's a 10-win improvement. If you go from 82 wins to 92 wins, you go from barely above 500 level mediocrity to either a division winner or a wild card. If you go from 100 losses to 90 losses, you still stink. But if you are the Pirates, it's progress. And I expect some of that from Derek Shelton's team this year. I do. I think there will be progress tangibly this year to the tune of a 10-win improvement, even if at the end of the year we look back and say yet another 90-plus loss season. I think they're going to be about 10 games better. Now, the reason why I think it's reasonable to expect that improvement is because the likes of O'Neal Cruz, Rodolfo Castro, Ke'Bryan Hayes. I think those guys all should get better. It's also reasonable that Mitch Keller and Ronzi Contreras have room to blossom in the rotation. Not to mention whatever veteran contributions the likes of Rich Hill and Carlos Santana and Andrew McCutchen, G-Man Choi, whatever they add. It's all about perspective. There's a big difference between saying the Pirates are going to be good and the Pirates are going to be better. At 61.5 wins, if you bet the over, you weren't even having to bet that the Pirates were going to be better. You were just betting that they were going to be about the same, that they wouldn't be worse. After all, like I said, they won 62 games last year. At 67 wins or 68 wins, that's simply a moderate improvement of 5 to 6 games. And even to me, an ultimate Pirates cynic, that's not exactly pie-in-the-sky optimism. Keep moving that line because I'm jumping on the Bucks at over 67.5 right now. I wouldn't go over 72.5, but anywhere in between, I say bet on the Buccos, and I rarely say that. All right, plenty more baseball to come over the next few months, but now let's get to some hockey. The Pens are in action tonight. They're in Nashville. The Pens have won 2 in a row after dropping 4 straight. We're still waiting to hear what the trade deadline may yield. As for the Predators, they've already traded forward Nino Niederreiter to the Winnipeg Jets. On Sunday, General Manager David Poile, he's the only GM in that franchise's history, by the way, he announced that he was stepping down at the end of the season. Longtime coach Barry Trotz is going to return as his replacement. Then they traded Tanner Janot for a big haul from Tampa Bay. The Penguins are minus 127 to win tonight. That's not too steep of a price for me. I like the under, too, at minus 118. I think the Preds start to realize their predicament after all these trades tonight, despite being just 6 points out of a playoff spot and winning 3 straight. Maybe the Pens found themselves these last 2 games with wins against the Blues and Lightning. We'll wait and see. Jake Guentzel is usually good against the Preds. I've got him scoring a goal at plus 128 tonight. He has 8 goals in 15 games against Nashville, including the playoffs, that Stanley Cup final, of course, back in 2017 when he was so good. But let's get a big picture look at the Penguins right now with Brian Metzer of the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. He joins us, as always, to look at the Pens as we approach the trade deadline, as we bask in the afterglow of that win against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and as we look at where the Penguins sit overall big picture in terms of the Eastern Conference playoff race. Mets can be heard during intermissions, as well as post games and Pens Live weekly. Mets, is it possible that that's the only place people will be able to get Penguins games in the future? What's happening on the TV end? What the hell is going on there?
I didn't even know we had TV in Pittsburgh, Tim. I thought we just had the radio broadcast. No, I don't know. Everything I've heard about it is that we'll be able to see the games for, I guess, baseball and hockey. They're acting like there are plans in place to keep it on the air through the Penguin season anyway. And we'll see what happens from there. I think this is a perfect opportunity for the Fenway people to come in and say, hey, we're bringing Nesson to Pittsburgh, and have them make a deal with the Penguins and Pirates. But I haven't heard anything to that effect. That's just my own, you know, rampant speculation. So it came out of nowhere over the last 2 weeks, and here we are. It's going to be looking like we don't have a regional sports network in Pittsburgh anymore.
I thought about the Nesson thing, too. I talked about that on my podcast that I do with Rob Owen, our TV Talk podcast. And it's ironic, isn't it? Because wasn't that the genesis of the conversation that lasted for a hot minute about Mario and Burkle trying to buy the Pirates, that their goal was to start a regional sports network like that?
Yeah, I think that, because I just heard that mentioned again, too. And once their bid to maybe purchase the Pirates didn't work out, they were still interested in doing a TV network with the Pirates. And apparently you'll be shocked to hear Bob Nutting threw a wet blanket on that idea and wasn't interested in doing it with them. So that's why they never got that off the ground, but it makes total sense. You had them on the same station here in the city. Why not do it and come up with some way to generate your own revenue from a TV broadcast, which, knowing the Penguins now and knowing the fact that they have people like Leo McCafferty involved and some others that do such a great job with Penguins TV, would you be blown away to hear that at some point the Penguins are going to start to produce their own broadcast in some way or fashion? I wouldn't be shocked by that at all.
No, I wouldn't. One thing I do wonder about the whole Nesson thing, though, Mets is that a conflict of interest because the Pirates and the Red Sox?
I would think it would be worked out contractually.
I mean, like
that,
if they did their own separate network with just the Pirates and the Penguins, I don't think it would be. But if
they join the one that the Red Sox are on, you would certainly then have to include that team management, which, I mean, they're the same ownership group. So why couldn't they? Yeah, they wouldn't own the Pirates, but what they would do is have to find a way to coordinate TV revenue with the Pirates, which I'm sure would be a much smaller piece of the pie just in general than they would get for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, like all of a sudden when we talk about revenue sharing dollars, are the Pirates getting Red Sox revenue sharing dollars? Or are they paying? Like, yeah, how the hell would that work?
Yeah, I don't know. That probably puts a wrench in the plan a little bit, but there's no reason that Nesson couldn't say, all right, there's a regional Nesson in Pittsburgh now with the Penguins and Pirates, and then you have Nesson in Boston that does the Bruins and the – because I think the Bruins are on Nesson, are they not?
Yeah, they are.
So it would be the same kind of thing. It just gets muddied up with the fact that the Penguins ownership group would also be involved in reaping the benefit from another baseball team that they own, and the Pirates would probably have a problem with that, which is why they probably wouldn't want to join Nesson. So forget we even mentioned it, listeners, because it probably won't happen. But I do feel like it's maybe we should just pass a hat, Tim, and get a group of our friends, a collective, and we'll start a TV network here in Pittsburgh.
Well, will it matter for the playoffs at all, Mets? Will the Penguins be a part of the playoffs?
As of our recording, they will be. They jumped back in by a 1-point margin right now, which is funny because I think this is going to be the stretch drive for the team. We're going to be watching it daily because at the start of their game yesterday, Tim, they were out of the playoffs. And by the end of it, they were back in. And by tonight, they could be back out. It just all depends because you got Detroit just 3 points behind them. Buffalo 1 point behind them. Florida is 2 points or 3 points behind them, as are the Washington Capitals. So it's going to be a 4-5 team race, leapfrogging each other on a near daily basis because the Islanders also just have 69. So the Penguins could feasibly leap over them. And it will be Islanders, Penguins, Buffalo, Detroit, and Florida all jockeying for these positions.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, with us right now here on Breakfast with Bens. What have they done so much better in these last two games against St. Louis and Tampa that they weren't doing during the four-game losing streak?
I will say that the Blues game I almost liked better than yesterday, only because they were not just they just weren't getting rewarded for their chances. I thought they played a tighter, more solid hockey game. The Lightning actually outscoring chance the Penguins in the game last night.
Wow.
And if it wasn't, for the 4 minutes and 27 seconds where they scored five goals, the second fastest five goals in franchise history, by the way, because they managed to score five in 2:07 back in 1974. But if not for that, which of course, it was there, so it did the job. I don't know that they were in a great position to win the game. I mean, they had moments where they looked bad last night, but I think both of those games were secondary scoring became prevalent. You got two goals from defensemen, which is something they haven't gotten all year. That's been a bugaboo for them. Their blue line's just not been productive. The Jeff Carter scoring, the fact that you got a Teddy Bluger goal is first in 33. I mean, all those things kind of coalesce to help the Penguins look better than they were in the four previous games. And I also should mention having Jan Rutta back went a long way towards making their entire blue line look better than it had been. And maybe it's a simple matter of just saying, hey, this is the closest to full health they've been in a while. They're only missing Ryan Poehling now. And so between health, some secondary scoring, they look like a different team. And also they got two decent goaltending performances. So that those three things really coalesced to help them look far better than they had probably since December.
And the cap breath to allow Rutta to play, too.
Yeah, and I saw some jokes on Twitter. People were just going nuts about the fact, was Kasperi Kapanen simply the problem? Well,
dollars were.
Yeah, his cap dollars certainly were. And his KAP dollars. the fact that he was out allowed Danton Heinen to come back in, and I think Heinen's looked decent in those two games. He had some good scoring opportunities, and hopefully he can get himself going again offensively because he is a streaky player. And if he can start scoring a couple goals, that will go a long way. But yeah, getting Rutta back in, getting the cap cleared up to get Ruta back in, and along with the other things I mentioned, I think made a big difference.
Again, Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, with us as we get set for the Penguins approaching the trade deadline. To that end, Brian, after what we just have seen here, what does this mean for the approach of Ron Hextall and what the Pens do as far as being buyers or sellers of the deadline?
Well, I think what's disappointing is a lot of people that you would have liked to have seen the Penguins be involved with are flying off the board now. I mean, you have, you know, Barbashev from St. Louis was somebody that they were apparently interested in. He's gone. Tanner Jeannot is somebody that I think that people in Pittsburgh have started to covet based on the fact that he could be a good bottom six player for any team that he's on, and he's under team control. He's an RFA after this year. He's making only $800,000, and Nashville received a king's ransom from the Lightning for him in the midst of them playing the Penguins last night. So Timo Meier went. Jacob Chychrun's obviously the biggest name left in the pond, and there are some other names available, but I just think that Ron Hextall's got to start getting moving on whatever the plan is. There's speculation running wild that potentially, you know, your captain, maybe your coach, isn't necessarily thrilled with no action this entire season with fixing the lineup or getting any help in. And I think they probably deserve a little bit of help now, you know, bring a body or two in if you can to kind of bolster them to make a jump into a playoff spot or to solidify a playoff spot. But I'm not certain, based on Ron Hextall's action the past two seasons, Tim, that we're going to see anything before Friday. He waited to the last minute to get Rickard Rakell last year. Jeff Carter came in a late night deal just ahead of the trade deadline the next day. I believe it was, we were getting off of Penguins post game, ending the broadcast as the Carter news broke that year. So I just think it's interesting that he's been so quiet. I know he doesn't talk a lot, and he doesn't really come out and say this is the plan. He alluded to the fact when he did speak on Friday, though, that he was looking to make the roster better. So take that as you will, and I'll assume that that means he's going to try and make a move or two. But again, the cap comes into play. He doesn't have a ton of money. I think they have about $400,000 at their disposal now, which allows them to consider a contract just over $1 million at the deadline. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind, unless it is a hockey deal that sends players out in exchange for other players.
If they sent somebody out to create the space to get Chychrun for one first round draft choice, I'd be okay with that, but not two like we were hearing before.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I think he's,
'cause he's a future asset and he's young, and you know, if you could figure out a way to extend him after this year, 'cause you could talk about extending him going into next year, then I'd be down with it.
That's the key, Tim. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you can have long-term. I mean, he's still signed for a couple years. He is only making 4.6. He's only 24 years old. So that's all really good stuff. And you could potentially keep him here as a member of your core through the Sid and Gino and Letang years. He steps right in as a partner to Chris Letang to offset Brian Dumoulin. And if you didn't lose Dumoulin in the trade to acquire him, I mean, he'll be gone off the books next year anyway, but that would still make your defense, I think, better to even play Dumo down the lineup this season. So it makes sense as a future and a current type move. But all that said, you still have to get some parts moving here, because as I pointed to, 474.6 is what they have in terms of available cap space. That allows actually it went up a little bit from where I thought. They can bring in a contract at 2.09. So like they can fit a $2 million contract in essentially at this point. So you'd still have to move other pieces to even fit Chychrun's money this year, assuming Arizona wouldn't hold any of it. I keep looking, and this is terrible to say because it would probably hurt people. He just signed to stay here. I keep looking at Brian Rust as a piece that could potentially be dangled in a trade. Teddy Bluger comes to mind as a guy that could probably be dangled in a trade. Both Bluger makes 2.2 right now, and Brian Rust is making 5.125 all the way through 27-28. And already this year, I'm hearing people commenting that he's not living up to that. I don't think he's going to live up to it in the future years. So that might be a contract that you could find some way to put in a trade conversation. But they're in a tough spot here, because you know that they want to help this lineup. But that said, their hands are still a little bit cuffed with this salary cap situation. They do have a lot more flexibility, though, today than they had a week ago at this time.
I really wish that those wins that they put together these last two games could have come in the divisional games. It feels like those were so much more than what the games against the Lightning and St. Louis were worth. They were. They're in division. And look at the Islanders. And just look at their own situation, Mets. I don't want them overpaying at the deadline just to get a seventh or eighth spot so they can get whacked by Boston or Carolina.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's the reward for sneaking in. Because I don't see them being able to make a run at the top three teams. I mean, sitting here today, the Penguins are 10 points away from the Rangers, who are currently in the third spot. And I know they have a game in hand on them, but still, I mean, it's tough to make up 10 points at this time of the season. Now, there are, we should mention, three games looming against the Rangers. They play them three times in the span of a week in March. So that's something to consider. They play them on the 12th.
Yeah, the 12th, the 16th, and the 18th, three times in four nights. I've never seen anything like it.
No, it's crazy. And then you don't often see them play in one city in back-to-back
right.
games.
Back-to-back either. Road games on the 16th and the 18th. That's just nuts.
No, it's so odd. It's I know they did
Part pandemic. Of that is because they got the NCAA tournament coming into town.
Yeah,
thereafter.
And they have to work around that, right? So
yeah.
But for me, that's where you can make up some games against them. I mean, if you beat them three times, certainly the 10 points isn't insurmountable. But I just think where the Penguins are right now, and based on the prices that we're seeing too, Tim, it's not worth selling the whole hog to go out and make a huge splash. I mean, if Tanner Jeannot is able to get you a prospect defenseman and five draft picks, including a first rounder in that mix, that was kind of crazy to me. I know he's a talented guy, but he's a bottom six player, even though he has room to grow. I thought that was a king's ransom for Nashville to get. A ton of assets went in the Timo Meier deal. And then other than that, even Barbashev, when the Penguins were rumored to be able to do that, they probably didn't have a prospect to the level of Zach Dean, who was shipped the other way in that one. Zach Dean was the 30th overall pick in 2021. So that was a first round type player going the other direction. So I don't know that the Penguins have assets enough to kind of get into these negotiations. I mean, teams are paying king's ransoms for these big fish in the trade pool this year. So to your point, I don't want to see them pay those kind of prices unless they're really getting a player that they know they can have here for a while too. I certainly wouldn't do it for a rental to just have another potential first round loss against one of those two juggernaut teams.
Mets appreciate it. What can we expect from the Panther or the Predators, by the way?
You know, what's interesting with them is David Poile is going to be retiring after this year. And I just realized I missed this in the news announcement. Barry Trotz is taking over as general manager. So the former coach is getting involved in that. So I was shocked to see it. I wasn't sure that he was even interested in that. But that being the case, the Predators have won three in a row. I know they made a couple of changes here lately, moved out a couple players, but I still think it's a team that always plays tough against the Penguins. They're on the hunt for a wild card in their situation. They're 6 points out at the moment, but they have a couple games in hand on the Seattle Kraken. So I think it'll be a tough game, especially going into Smashville, as they like to call themselves. And the Penguins do have that Stanley Cup win to hang their hat on, but the Predators play them pretty tough. So I think it's not going to be a pushover game by any means. And the schedule's not getting any easier for the Penguins in general, Tim, because the Lightning loom large again. Then you have the big game against Florida next Saturday. So this week's going to be tough leading into the trade deadline with the Nashville and Tampa Bay games.
All right. So my thanks to Mets. Before we go, let's do a little college basketball talk. Of course, Brian Metzer, by the way, again, you can hear him on the Pittsburgh Penguins radio network tonight. 8 o'clock is the drop of the puck. Pregame at 7 on 105.9 The X. Mets intermissions postgame. And, of course, Pens Live Weekly. Tonight, basketball-wise, RMU at the UPMC Event Center. That's on the campus of Robert Morris University. IUPUI tonight. And the Colonials are 14-point favorites. It's their first time hosting a Horizon League game since coming into the conference 3 years ago. IUPUI, terrible. Colonials are 10-10 in conference play. IUP, 5-26 overall. One of their wins, though, just happened a couple days ago against RMU, and I bet those guys are pissed about it. I love the Colonials tonight. The minus 125, wish it was minus 125. The minus 1250 on the money line is prohibitive to bet straight. That's a return of $8 on 100. So I buy the line a bit on the 14 points or just go on a parlay. I like Dayton over LaSalle as a dance partner. I like buying some points on St. Louis's side against VCU when they're already getting 6 as another partner potentially for tonight's game for the Colonials. Here's a good one tonight. Go over on the Detroit Mercy game. I bet they play fast and loose and try to get that kid Antoine Davis the NCAA scoring record. He's 63 points shy of Pistol Pete Maravich. I bet this is an up-and-down, high-tempo game. Lots of possessions to give him a chance to get the record. The number is 153.5. Detroit is a 4-point favorite over Purdue Fort Wayne. Of course, the best way to get him that record probably is to get him a bunch of points tonight and win, and then maybe he can break it in the next game, win or lose. I bet Mercy plays their ass off for that kid. I go with Mercy on the -4, and I go with the over on that one. Now, in terms of Pitt and Duquesne tomorrow, the Pitt line against Notre Dame is going to be huge. I'm still going to like Pitt, though. Maybe find a money line partner for them on the road in South Bend, but I see Pitt winning that one big and putting any doubt to rest of the candidacy for the NCAA tournament as they look for a share of the ACC crown. Duquesne against UMass at the UPMC Cooper Fieldhouse. I like the Dukes tomorrow. They've been up and down, back and forth. I don't see UMass going to the line 39 times or whatever it was like they did when they were at home when they come here to Pittsburgh. They got, I think, a little bit of home cooking in that game at Amherst earlier in the season. UMass has lost 6 of 7. Duquesne is looking for another win to get them to not only 16 at home, which would be a record for a single season for the Dukes, but also to get 20 victories. Their next game is against Fordham on the road. That's going to be really tough. Then it's the tournament. So this is the best chance to get that number 20 win, and I think they do it. Dukes money line or on the spread if the number isn't too big tomorrow. All right, that'll do it for us today. Make sure you check out Bet Rivers. Download the app today or go to BetRivers.com. This is the Pittsburgh CityCast. I am Tim Benz. I'm back with Mark Madden on Thursday here in the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Pittsburgh CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.